Wait a minute, wait a turn, minute. On the radio. Turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you right. Got in tune. Got he in talking tune. Bigger talking business. Bigger he make business. A lot of moves. Lot of he talking Scott Catoon. I'm saying, wait a minute, wait turn, a minute. On turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. Play I it hope though. You got in tune. Right. He talking bigger business. He make a lot of moves. We talking Scott Catoon.
Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm Scott Catoon. As that song just told you, this is Technori Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. That was a long break into the show with our music. Probably won't do that all the time, but we had to say a thank you. If you were listening last week, you heard Songfinch on here promising to make me a song, and that was it. In less than 7 days, they delivered that song. It is incredible. Anyone who knows me at this point is already not liking that song because they listen to it all day long, because I play it all day long. I love hype music. That's how I get into, you know, the gym. That's how I get into this show. So to have my own hype song, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Michael Stark and Songfinch. I love it. And that song is going to be played until it's broken, probably. Broken, probably. Anyway, on to this show. We have got an incredible showcase for you today. We have guests that are literally have flown in from New York and San Francisco and here in Chicago to talk about a lot of really cool things, from startups that are disrupting the cleaning industry. We've got MyClean co-founder and CEO Michael Scharf will join us to talk about how he's quietly disrupting a cleaning service industry and has bootstrapped his startup to about $9 million in revenue. So that's going to be fantastic. And then we've got some Technori news. We've got some Technori previous presenters on here. And it is just gorgeous out. I'm watching people walk by the studio right now, and I'm thinking, I shouldn't be in radio. I should be outside playing golf. So hopefully you guys are on your mobile devices outside enjoying the city right now. Speaking of nice out, you know it's summer in Chicago, or getting towards summer in Chicago, when all of a sudden event invites start crashing my inbox. I'll be judging the UIC Startup Challenge on Monday. We've got the Purdue University Alumni Foundry pitch competition on like the 20th of April. That's going to be hosted at TechNexus. And then there's Tuesday. Usually we reserve our events for Tuesday, the end of the month, but this is coming early. This Tuesday, we've got a big event, Small Business Base Camp hosted by Salesforce, which we'll be learning a lot about. We've got Salesforce VP of Product and SMB Marketing, Jamie. I'm going to mess her name up, and I apologize. I've apologized before. Dominici. And she's going to be in studio with us. And we're also going to learn a little bit about the other side of the pitch competition. She's a judge at this event, but we're also going to have one of the presenters, Stella Shalu, who was actually a presenter at Technori a few months back. She is the founder and CEO of a networking startup from Chicago called WeSolve. And it's going to be an absolutely fascinating kind of exchange, for me at least, because I'm always on the stage introducing presenters. I'm very, very rarely the one who actually does the presenting. So it's going to be great to find out sort of both sides of the coin. What is it like in this world to judge, and what you're looking for in a great startup, but also what is it like to be the presenter who's got all these eyes on you, trying to figure out, you know, why you're important and why it's why you should be paid attention to in the first place. But first, we want to check in with the feed. Lots of great feedback, if you will, from last week. So we're going to continue. I want to introduce you to Sean Fralick, who's on my team. He's going to teach you a little bit about what's been going on in tech this week. Take it away, Sean.
I'm Sean Fralick, host of Technori's The Feed, where I dish top tech news with a bonus slice of weird. So through the lips and over the gums, here the news comes. You like seafood because Chicago just landed a big fish. Outcome Health, formerly known as Context Media, just hired a former Facebook executive. Blake Shanley helped expand Facebook starting in 2007 and has now joined Outcome Health to lead emerging commercial opportunities. Shanley was Facebook's first employee in the UK. He expanded Facebook's global reach from London when Facebook only had a couple hundred employees. Those were the days. Shanley says he was inspired when he met Outcome Health co-founders Rishi Shah and Shraddha Agarwal, and wants to help them create better health services. Outcome Health currently creates tablet software that patients can use at the doctor's office to better engage with their providers. And I hope doctors don't stop giving me cherry suckers. Let's move on to the second course, rats. No, you don't want to eat rats, you goof. But if you're a startup, that means you're in the rat race to catch some venture capital. Here's the good news, bad news for the first quarter of 2017. PitchBook NVCA Venture Monitor reported that venture capital in Chicago jumped up $30 million to $246 million. On the flip side, this money went to fewer companies. 39 deals were made in the first quarter of 2017 versus the 49 that were made at the end of 2016. The NVCA says that the venture market appears to be, quote, coming down to earth, and the outlook for 2017 looks good. So get your knee pads ready, startup people. It's time to start begging. Now on to the national news front. Jeff Bezos, the affable owner of Amazon, is selling off $1 billion in stock so that he can help finance the race to space. Bezos showed off his reusable rocket booster and a mock-up for a pod that could take people on a quick ride to see Earth. The takeoff would feel like three times the force of gravity, and riders can unbuckle and do somersaults once in space. However, there is no timetable for when these passenger space rides will be available, since the current goal is to make space travel more affordable for developers to design new tech. Finally, our Technori shout-out goes to Songfinch. For $200, Songfinch will write you a song from scratch. The company was founded by people with decades in the industry. So got a major life celebration coming up. Fill the songwriters in on some of the pertinent info, and they'll materialize that big day into music. Also, they created a new hype song about Scott Catoon. And if they can write a song about Scott, then the sky is the limit. I imagine you're still hungry for more me. So find me on WGN Radio and Technori.com Monday night to see my face. But alas, the screen will forever block me from your touch.
Thank you so much, Sean. That's wonderful. And of course, he's got, I reminded everyone, of course, that the Songfinch, I made my team listen to it again and again and again. So I appreciate him dropping a little bit of a thank you in there. He also mentioned Outcome Health. Outcome Health, the CEO, co-CEO, I think, is at this point, is Rishi Shah. I had a chance to meet him at Tech Week in June. Literally one of Chicago's gems when it comes to entrepreneurs. It's very exciting to see things growing. It was Context Media before, and it just gets bigger and bigger. And to draw executives away from Facebook and bring them to Chicago, it just speaks to how insanely ridiculous the growth here in Chicago is. The opportunities are just amazing. So I guess from that standpoint, I just, I'm really excited to see what's going on here in Chicago. And I think it leads to the next conversation when we have the Vice President of Small Business Marketing and Product Marketing, Jamie Domenici. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing this right again, but she'll be on next. I'm Scott Catoon, and this is WGN Radio. I'm Scott Catoon, and we're back in the Showcase studio here at WGN with Salesforce VP of SMB and Product Marketing, Jamie. Hold on, I'm going to get this right. Domenici.
So close.
I got
so
the A
close.
In there.
Domenici.
Why can't I do this name thing? I swear to God, this is on the podcast. We can have a joke about it because we all like are sitting there like we can hit stop and it's totally fine. I just can't.
No one can get that. Don't feel bad.
No,
not
but like,
you.
I can't. Tough I one. Think if your name was Smith, I still would have screwed up. And like, Smythe? Is this Smythe Founders? I can't. At any rate, I appreciate you coming in here. As we teed this up. You guys are hosting Salesforce, being you guys, are hosting an event this Tuesday at the Ivy Room. It's going to be very cool. Technori is going to be there. M-Hub is going to be there, which people have read a lot about M-Hub with Bill Finnup, the CEO, who the mayor has been hanging out there quite a bit lately. And a lot of other, you know, startups and things, but it's also small business and it's small business focused. So why don't you kind of give us a rundown briefly about what this event is, and then we'll get a little bit more about you and Salesforce and all of you guys, all the hard work we're seeing with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Salesforce has been hosting the small business pop-ups. So we're coming to cities where we're finding a lot of interest and demand and need. And our whole goal, it's a free event. And what we're trying to do is bring together small businesses and give them access and opportunity to not only network, but to see what different resources are available to them, meet other folks. And when I say resources, I'm talking about Salesforce. Okay, so we can teach you how to, you know, run your business and build communications in the cloud.
Yeah.
But there's also partners like Sage and Chase for Business, Yelp, Airbnb, Facebook. There's a ton of different opportunities and access to other individuals who are doing great things to help small businesses grow.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, having a background working with small businesses and, you know, it's a challenge. It's a challenge working with them, and it's a challenge to be a small business at the same time because the budgetary restraints are always a challenge. And then there's also just the fact that there's a lot of times they've got a lot of people wearing a lot of hats.
Yeah.
And so I feel like they struggle with being able to create CRMs, being able to manage them, being able to manage the data and the information, being able to get involved in social media and promoting the right way and taking advantage of all the things we talk about with Facebook, as you mentioned. Salesforce, in my experience, does a fantastic job of giving you a suite of essentially anything and everything you could possibly want and use. And then sort of a litany of like, here's how you expand on this. Are you a company of one or are you a company of 1 million? Like literally.
Right. I look at, first of all, CRM, like not a lot of people walk around saying, oh, where's my CRM?
I feel like they should. They should. If they want to sell their product and services, they really should start asking more about it.
Well, they should. And what we found is we did a whole survey of entrepreneurs local in the area. And we found that over 30% of folks are still using spreadsheets. The other 30% are not using anything, right? So there's still a lot of opportunity. And people who come to the event, that's what we help them learn. We say, all right, you need to get off spreadsheets. Here's your next step. How do you put the customer at the center of your business in everything you do? And that's where Salesforce comes in. We can help you with your sales, your service and marketing, and bring everything into one place. So every time you talk to a customer, you know everything that's happened between your business and them.
That seems to be the daunting thing, I think, even for startups, which are, you know, quote unquote, tech savvy, is the idea that I have to remember all the things I'm doing, and then I've got to update this list, and then I've got to update this email list, and then I've got to segment all this. And what's great about Salesforce for the use case that we have is the ability to sort of do that all at the same time. You make one thing, the email goes through and it tracks all the way through. Very, very cool. I guess, how do you see the SMBs that you guys are working with? What are some of the problems that you're seeing with them? What is the thing, the number one thing, if you could put your finger on it, that they need help in, whether it's Salesforce, it's helping them or not?
Right. I think that number one thing is they're just trying to figure out that next step, right? And we work with a lot of companies that are small now, but not small forever. So they're figuring out, well, how do I grow and how do I scale? And the number one thing people ask us is, how do I build a better experience with my customer? And that's what we do and how we help build out those customer interactions. So I'll give you an example. Do you know Belly?
I do, of course, yeah.
Local company,
yep.
Right?
Light
they build
company.
Out loyalty programs. And when they came to us when they were just getting started, they had a problem where they were going to local vendors, but they didn't know what local vendors they were going to. They didn't know how often they talked to them. They didn't know if marketing was talking to them. And so that's where Salesforce came in. Now they could track every single one of their customer interactions. So they knew if they had talked to that vendor, that local market, they knew what they said. And so when they were coming back, it was a more personal conversation, which has really transformed how they work with their customers.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, you guys picked the right city to throw this event in, not just because we've had a lot of success with our pitch events, but because Chicago is, I don't know if you can see, look out the window, it's like bustling with people, guys in suits. That dude was probably working earlier today. Who knows? the tech community, this morning I checked in at Tech Nexus on 20 North Wacker where we office, and there was a bunch of people in there working. And these are small, whether you call them startups because it's a sexy term or small
right.
business. This is a city that is growing so rapidly, particularly in the tech space, but just in the small business space. We've got more small businesses, I think, here than in the Midwest for sure, anywhere in the country. But in Chicago, it's just massive. So it's great to see you guys sort of bringing attention to it from a Salesforce, from a corporate standpoint, and actually coming here with an offering of tools to make them better.
Well, and at the event, as I said, you get access, you get information, you get overviews, but there's a whole lot more. So we're doing a pitch contest, which you're going to be part of. We'll be giving away some money to some awesome companies who are going to walk us through what they're doing. I'm excited about that. And are you a Blackhawks fan?
Of course.
You got to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, how can you not be here?
Well,
this is WGN. This is where the Blackhawks play. It's WGN Chicago Zone.
So I'm really excited because we have the CEO and president of the Blackhawks, John McDonough is going to be there doing a session talking about how, tips and tricks about how he's grown his business and had success, of course, with the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be pretty cool.
And also, if I'm not mistaken, hopefully I'm right here, Troy Hennikoff from Math Ventures.
Yep, yeah,
he's
you're right.
Former head of, you know what? This is where I'm going to become a pro at radio. Right in front of you, I'm going to become a pro. You talked about Belly. One of the guys, Logan LaHive, was the guy from Belly. Logan LaHive took over for Troy Hennikoff at Techstars just recently. See how I tied that out?
Small. There you go.
Small steps growth. I became a pro. I just thought on my own feet, which is pretty cool. So Troy is a legend in the startup game with Techstars and Math Ventures. So he'll be speaking too. So, I guess my goal with this having you on the show is to express to everyone out here, whether you're the side of us that is tech and you're sort of, I guess we were talking about millennials earlier this morning with people. If you're on that side, you're going to love it because of guys like Troy and hopefully me. If you are not on the tech side of this and you're not startup and it's SMB, there's plenty of stuff out there to go to see at this event, because like I said before, MHub is a manufacturing hub, which is not just startups and all the things you guys are working on.
Yeah, we're definitely for growing companies, and there's things for companies at all stages there. And something that Salesforce is doing too, this is a free event. You know, we want you to have access to network. And there's also one-on-one consultations. For those of you who are using Salesforce or want to use Salesforce, you can sit down with one of our experts, 30 minutes, walk through anything that you need to have that one-on-one conversation.
Very, very cool. So I guess I kind of want to segue into the final piece here before we find out where to, you know, where people can go to get to get registered. What is it about Salesforce? Like, what makes you so dedicated to trying to help small businesses? And obviously, you know, from our interest, we're talking about Chicago, but as a whole, I've noticed a lot with Salesforce recently that there's a big outreach to not only help small businesses, but help, you know, with diversity and with inclusion. I'm seeing lots of cool stuff from you guys, which is obviously great because that's what we're all about here. So kind of talk to me a little bit. Why is it that you're so dedicated to small business?
That's a great question. Small businesses is really where Salesforce started. So 19 years ago, when Mark Benioff and Parker Harris formed Salesforce, it was all about catering to small businesses and helping them grow. So it's kind of our roots. And as we look at where we're going and where we've been, we know that small businesses are what's growing our company and the foundation of who we are. So we're really doubling back and investing in the small businesses. And actually, that's my full-time job. I work at Salesforce, and all I do all day is think about how we can empower small businesses to grow between our product, our marketing, and that's where things like this event were born.
Very, very cool. It's hard to imagine that it was 19 years ago for Salesforce. I can't, it like makes me, I'm 32. It makes me feel so old.
Don't do it.
Well, it's a millennial thing. We got to like pretend that we're the only ones in the world. Where do people go to register for this event?
If you go to salesforce.com, you can type in Basecamp Chicago. And I think right there you can sign up and you can show up at the event, even if you don't register beforehand. It's open and welcome to all.
Jamie, very, very, very interesting. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. It's great. I'll see you Tuesday.
Absolutely. We'll see you Tuesday. Up next, you've got a pitch contest contestant from this event, Stella Shalu, who's the founder and CEO of WeSolve.
Wait a minute, turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business, he make a lot of moves. I'm saying wait a minute.
Welcome back to the Showcase Studio here at WGN Radio. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. That is my favorite song, and this is Technori Live at WGN Radio. We've been talking about Salesforce Pitch Event, which is Tuesday, their base camp event. And I figured, you know what, why not get a glimpse from the other side of the coin here? So we've got one of the presenters and is also a friend of mine, also a presenter at other Technori events, Stella Shalu, the founder and CEO of WeSolve. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Scott. Thank you for having me.
So I've had you on the podcast. I've had you at the stage at Chase. And now we've got you here in the Showcase studio. I don't know.
Circle.
We're running out of things to put you on, I think.
This is awesome.
I don't know what else we've got. You know, I think, you know, we've got kind of a short segment here. I want to make sure that first and foremost, we find out what WeSolve is. I want a personal update on what you guys have been up to in the last few months since we had you on the Showcase. So why don't we start off with what is WeSolve?
So WeSolve is a platform that connects talented and diverse candidates from across the nation to each other and then to companies to solve real business challenges, giving those students an opportunity to get real experiential learning and access to these companies, and then helping companies get much more enhanced access to diverse candidates and then performance data to make better hiring decisions.
So is it safe to say that our friends at Hunt Club who are sitting out in the green room, that this was a timely conversation for you?
It was definitely. It was really interesting to learn about what we were both doing. We're like, aha, we both see this issue and we're both attacking it from really creative.
I see it all the time. And we've actually had, I'm blanking right now on who the guest we had on the podcast about 2 weeks ago who was talking about this. But the general takeaway from it is that you can't put diversity numbers in it. And just, you know, it was Norify. It was,
yep,
Shaniqua Davis.
Yep.
We were talking about the fact that you can't just plug in people and expect that you're going to be able to hire and everyone's going to work well together. And it's just going to be seamless because, you know, I said so. It doesn't work that way. And if you want to have a really diverse, culturally positive organization, you need to tap into everyone's network. And that means tapping into if it's a minority hire, then you need to know who their friends are and have them suggest people to work with. You don't just put people next to each other. Well, boy, 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 girl, minority, minority.
Or you don't just go to the same 4 or 5 locations that you've been going. You need to expand that reach, you know, widen the net.
Yes.
Because there are talented and diverse candidates in so many places.
You know what's funny? I wish we had all day, because I'm serious, because this is one of those topics that kind of drives me nuts, because the reality is it's not even just about minority and gender hiring. We have this problem with major corporations in just hiring, period. And they always take this like really high, complicated approach to things, where we recruit from Notre Dame, Indiana, you know, whatever the schools are, and they only get the same talent pool again and again. And it's like this company walks in, I meet them, it's like
bunch
the whole
of clones.
Yeah, it's a bunch of clones. And there's no like, and that's not even, we're not talking about minority or gender. That's just a bunch of, like, they can look however they look. They are the same person. Type.
And that is exactly what WeSolve is aiming to solve. It wasn't that WeSolve, you know, set out to say, we're going to fix this diversity issue. We set out to fix the hiring issue, help you make better hiring decisions that are less
biased. It doesn't have to be so hard. They make it so hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my goodness. So like, walk me through quickly on how does it exactly work? Like, what is the difference between this and say anything, I guess?
Yeah. So the way it works is because we have partner universities and students from over 50 top MBAs, we have reach through our platform to a broad network. Students are able to get on the platform, find other students to network and engage with, and then sort through projects based on their interests, companies, skill sets that they're trying to learn, and create teams to work on these real projects. And then through the platform, they're able to engage, submit deliverables, and work with these companies and really see, is that a company I'd want to work for? Two, get resume building experience, and then three, leverage that to get hired in the process.
I love to see, and it's not new. I mean, obviously social network and things like that, everyone's using networks, but I feel like, you know, social media built the networks, or at least took the networks of human, you know, the on the ground networks, and made them digital. I love to see all these startups now that are building their platforms on top of the network dynamic
exactly,
system.
Yeah.
It's so brilliant, because you can learn. You know, truthfully, if you think about and for those of you listening, if you think about the last time you did an interview or you hired somebody for your company and you had to ask all these really weird questions that all just were like, I don't know if that's personal or not. Like, I have to answer because I'm on a job interview, whatever. You can look at their network and know the answer to 90% of the questions, like, where do they go to school? What is their personality type like? Who are their friends? Where do they work? You can find it all out.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so brilliant, is you can tie people together, you know, almost seamlessly. It's great.
Yeah.
Well, on that thing, there's two pieces I want to talk about. This is one is going to be, could go on for days, but I just want to tap into it quickly as we've got you. We talk about gender and minority, and you are taking the spot of as a female founder as well as a minority female founder. What has it been like in Chicago for you as far as developing and growing this company and sort of, you know, just overall, what's your experience? What's your feeling on what we need to do to make it better?
I feel like there's two sides of the coin. So here in, in Chicago, I feel like there's such a strong startup network. We're a community all trying to help each other out. And I really see that being a little bit different than what I've experienced, you know, from my home, Silicon Valley. But as a diverse founder, I'm not going to lie, there's just some challenges. There's some hardships. You're kind of going against, you know, what that typical image of what a founder looks like, sounds like, and where they come from. And so, you know, that's just a challenge that I think as more and more diverse founders, you know, become more visible, we're going to have to overcome.
Well, and as a plain white guy sitting in this chair, it's easy for me to be like, oh, well, here's my opinion on this. But in truth, I said this the other day at Technori event last Tuesday, which was all dedicated to female founders. I love that we have a couple problems here, and I know people don't, you know, there is suffering on the other side of this, no doubt, but I love that we have problems that we can solve, because it means that we can make Chicago the best. It's an opportunity for us to build a community that is the most inclusive, the most diverse community, because we can build it from the ground up, because it doesn't exist anywhere
else.
So I'm super excited to actually, like,
and that's one of the reasons why I decided to stay here instead of going back home to San Jose and build a tech company. I felt like there was a real opportunity to build something from the ground up with a community that's really looking to build something strong.
Well, I got to tell you, if Rahm Emanuel's listening, he's very happy to hear that. He and Kurt Summers have been all over the place talking about what do we have to do. In fact, this last week, Rahm Emanuel, we mentioned before, Bill Finnup, MHUB, and Kevin Willer, who was the former CEO of 1871, they're actually in Boston this week speaking at Harvard and MIT about why you should send your students to Chicago. So this is just another reason. I'm glad that you're evidence of why you should come to Chicago, because there's a lot of really cool things going on and a huge community that I like to think that our tech community, maybe more so than any other spot in Chicago, takes everyone.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you have talent and you're ready to work hard, you're welcome.
Yeah,
all day.
Definitely.
So before we let you go here, I want to pivot real quick to, you've got Tuesday's event. You're presenting at the Basecamp Small Business Pitch Contest.
Yep, super excited.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about what it's like to be on stage? I'm used to being on stage and bringing you on stage. I'm not used to being there, having everyone watch to see what I'm going to say.
It's so interesting. People are like, oh, you've pitched a million times. This should be so easy. Every pitch is different. I feel like I'm starting from scratch every time I have to prepare for a pitch.
Well, because your company's growing so fast in the startup world.
Things
it's not
are
like,
changing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's what I said, you know, 2 months ago is not the message that I want to give now. So, and then too, it's pretty nerve wracking to be basically unveiling your baby to the world to have them, you know, evaluate and judge it. So it's a little bit of a stressful moment, but at the same time, it's really exciting and exhilarating to be talking about the thing that, you know, I spend the most time doing, the thing I care the most about right now is building the, this company and this venture. And so,
so I want to ask you, you mentioned this, you're talking about having to say this in a different way. It's like a brand new company because last time what you promised is not what you're promising this time. This is one of the things that I think the people who are watching the show, listening to the show, watching in the window right now, have a question about startups, is they feel like it's always some new thing and you're talking about like a whole, you spin a different yarn every time you tell the story. And as a startup founder and as a person who's done, been through this, and also yourself, tell me a little bit about why and how it's so important that you sort of revise the story every couple months.
Well, because the story is changing every couple months, to be quite honest. You know, as a startup, any good startup is listening to their customers, listening to their users, and making iterations or changes to be able to, you know, grow and improve. And so, you know, every day, every week, every month, we are finding out something that's kind of changing the trajectory of the course. So
very well stated.
Yeah. For instance, you know, we were really focused on enterprise companies. And while we still are, we've identified that there's a need for, you know, startups and growth stage companies to have access to this talent and to work on these types of projects that they really care about and that are important. So we've added that, and that's a new, you know, inbound almost, you know, revenue stream.
It's so funny how that stuff works. It happened to us too. We're looking long term, looking at all these things, and all of a sudden the obvious idea was right in front of us. We just didn't know
yeah.
it. So you got to change. You got to change on a fly, and that's the key to being a successful startup, as you mentioned. Where do people go to learn more about WeSolve?
You can go to www.wesolve.co or www.wesolve.com.
Oh, you got them both.
We got them both.
You got them both. That's key. Stella, thank you as always. Thank you very much for taking the time to come on.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm Scott Catoon. You're listening to WGN Radio 720. We got to take a quick back to break to pay the bills, but we'll be back with my clean founder and CEO, Michael Scharf. I'm Scott Catoon. Welcome back to the Startup Showcase. We are here live at WGN Radio. I'm sitting next to the co-founder and CEO of MyClean, Michael Scharf. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Scott. It's great to be on.
Absolutely. So, you know, I have to say, one of the things that is particularly fascinating about your company, and we're going to get into your background and the company and all this good stuff. And well, first, you know what, before I even get into that, because we have people standing outside the studio window right now, I want to make sure that we say, I am so glad that your company exists, so that people can be out here having a great time and not locked in their house on a beautiful day in Chicago cleaning junk.
It's a perfect day for me to be here promoting my brand.
Seriously, there is
who
not
wants a, to be inside cleaning today.
There is not a better day. So you flew in from New York, which is quite an honor. I mean, it wasn't just for me, but I'm going to tell everyone it was for me.
I appreciate you having me on. It's an honor for me to be here.
So here's the thing. I've interviewed, I don't know, founders of 300 plus startups. We've had 290 startups on our stage at Chase Auditorium. I've heard a lot of stories. I've heard a lot of crazy founder stories. And the last year, say a year and a half, now we're starting to get a lot of that. We're the Airbnb of things. For like a year and a half solid, almost every application started off with their Uber of.
Sure.
And so I looked at your company and I was like, this is a company that's not the Uber of.
That's
in fact, and this is where we're going to get into your background as a person. You had to be a trader or some sort of financial person because
I was.
only a trader would look at how the Uber model works and identify that the one reason it wouldn't work with house cleaning and it would not work from an efficiency standpoint would be this. And you did it. So I want you to kind of tell people first what MyClean is.
Sure. So MyClean is a full-service cleaning and janitorial company. At our core, we're a services company that cleans homes and offices. What makes us somewhat unique and where we would even come into the conversation with a company like Uber, although we probably shouldn't, is that we have proprietary technology for everything. So quoting, booking, communicating on the back end, coordinating logistics. Imagine everything that goes into booking a house clean and then sending one of our roughly 250 employees to a home at a certain time with specific instructions and so on and so forth. We have proprietary technology for all that on both the mobile and desktop.
So, pun intended, how does that clean up the model that like Molly Maid has where, I mean, obviously I know it's non-technical. They just send these people over to the house.
Sure.
And I don't even want to make fun of people because we've had Molly Maids to either my condo or to, you know, house my parents, whatever, yep. Just sort of watching them like, I know I'm a lousy cleaner. Like, I know I'm bad. I know I miss stuff. Miss stuff is an understatement. I don't even clean. I guess that's really what I should just start with. But you watch some of these groups and you're like, how, like, I don't want to be mean because it's disrespectful, but I want to ask, like, how long have you been cleaning houses? And it's like, oh, it's a side gig. I just need to make some cash. And you're like, so you've never really actually, like, you don't know what you're doing really then at all. And it's just sort of interesting to me that to me was what stuck out about the Uber of for this model. Yep. That wouldn't work is you've got a lot of people coming in that have never cleaned before and they're like the quality control would be almost impossible.
Absolutely.
So what I like what you guys do is you have full staff. These are people who are employed working.
Yep. All W-2 employees trained, insured and bonded, everything by us. And we have a fairly comprehensive hiring process, management process, training process, you know, everything that goes into employing from a W-2 perspective cleaners.
So as a person who was a trader,
yep.
Not the kind that's been in the news lately talk of the one with the AIT, this is a D trader. Non-political, just making jokes. We have to make our jokes.
I understand.
But in all seriousness, how did you identify cleaning as a place to do this? Like in my mind, when I first was introduced to you, I thought it reminded me actually of, no offense by this, Wall Street, when Bud Fox is a trader and all, he's like, oh, it's, you know, there's a lot of different techniques you can use to make your cleaning service company work better. I don't know if you remember this at all from the movie Wall Street.
But, yes, I do.
Okay. So yep. When I saw, I was like, huh. I actually get this guy on the show. Bud Fox is here. So I guess kind of tell me, how did you find your way into this?
Sure. So, well, my previous background, I was an equity derivative structure and salesman. Worked at Bank of America Securities, the investment banking arm, from 2004 till about 2009. And during that time, I had a same cleaner come once every 2 weeks over the span of that time. And I was a traditional, you know, person with a cleaner relationship. I'd leave money out. She would come clean. She came once every 2 weeks. She had a key to my place, et cetera, right? Then she was no longer able to clean. And so I wanted to go and book someone. And I asked a bunch of friends and no one had anyone. So I went to try to find a service. And amazingly, it was very difficult to find a service. And this will show you how far technology has come in even a short amount of time. In 2009 in New York City, you could not book a cleaner online. It was simply not possible to do that.
That's like honestly unimaginable to be totally honest.
Unimaginable, right? And it shows you how quick technology has moved. And I saw that there was an opportunity there. And I said, you know, look, consumers at the time, this is when consumers really had adapted buying products online, but buying services online was still something relatively new.
Yeah.
And I said, without a question, this is the next trend and I want to participate and be involved in this trend.
So this is where I'd usually start to nerd out. So the difference between this show sometimes and the podcast, I dig a little deeper into the business side of it. And soon we will start digging a little deeper into business, but we've been really kind of introducing the community and the followership at WGN of like what the startup world is about. So I'm going to dive into your company a little bit here.
Sure.
What I think is even cooler than the whole backstory is the fact that you've bootstrapped your way to about $9 million in revenue.
Yep.
Which is fascinating and cool and sounds amazing, but I'd love to know how you did it. Like, how did you find the way through this and not do, you know, in New York and Silicon Valley made very famous is the go out and raise capital quick. Scale, raise a bunch of money, scale more. How did you do this on your own?
Well, for starters,
on your own. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
not
sure.
On your own.
Number one, it certainly wasn't on my own. Yes. I can only take credit for a little
how
bit.
How much cleaning can five, you know?
What we did is we developed a model that worked and we kept on doing the same thing over and over again successfully, right? So we learned how to acquire customers cheaply through Yelp, through SEO, through other savvy marketing tactics, through our marketing strategies, through customer referral programs and so on and so forth. And then we would send a cleaner, clients would be happy, we would follow up, and then we would pair the customers with the same cleaner each time. And what we found is that customers get very loyal to a company when they can send the same cleaner each time and they want to have the same cleaner in their home on a weekly basis, on a biweekly basis, and so on and so forth. And so that's really what our model is. It's we pair customers with a cleaner.
So how did you get the market share? Because I feel like, you know, it's not easy. Cleaning is one of those things where, and I don't even know how to even preface this statement, I guess, but cleaning is one of those things where it's definitely, you know, a lot of Polish cleaning companies, sure, a lot of things like that are, I feel like, have almost siloed themselves. They're their own little thing. People actually make, I mean, the saying always goes, if there's a joke about you, if there's a, you know, sort of a, I don't know what the right word is for it, but they make jokes about your sort of who you are, then normally there's a little truth in it. There's a lot of companies like that. How did you take tech and bring it into the cleaning industry? Because that's not somewhere I feel like, you know, people, I think they would naturally do what you did, which is call their friends and be like, you know, who do you have? Not go online and find like, here's a tech based service that's, you know, whatever. How did you get that market share?
Sure. So initially, we were one of the first companies to do it. And the biggest things we did early on, which I think will kind of give you a sense as to what the times were, was one is we got an article on Thrillist that said the internet will now clean your home.
That's awesome.
Which certainly was deceiving because the internet was not cleaning your home. It was a person from our company that, yeah, was cleaning your home, but it was a catchy title. And within the span of 3 days, we had 400 consumers sign up when we employed three cleaners. So that was definitely an interesting situation. And then the second thing is we partnered with Gilt early on. Yeah. We were the first cleaning company to launch on Gilt. This is back when Gilt was really popular. I don't even know if
it's still rolling
around, yeah, anymore. I mean, this is, you know, Group went back when Groupon was still a hot thing, Gilt, etc., and that kind of got us out there early.
Very cool. This is awesome. I want to learn more about this, and we're going to have you come into the podcast as well because we got to wrap up here. But where do people go to learn more about MyClean? I know you're in New York and Chicago.
Sure, you can go to www.myclean.com either on your desktop or mobile, and you can book directly on our site. Or if you have any questions, give us a call. It's 855-MyClean.
Very, very cool. Thank you so much for taking the time to come in here.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
You can stream this episode. You can stream more. You can check us out at WGenRadio.com. Download the podcast, the Technori podcast on iTunes. Learn more about Chicago Tech by following us at Facebook and Twitter at Technori. Follow me at Katoon. This has been the show. Boom. That's a wrap.